1 Corinthians 15:1. Brothers, I reveal to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you stand, by which you also are being kept safe. What keeps you safe? The true gospel. Understanding the true gospel. Standing on the true gospel. And we have some other teaching we're doing right now, and that's probably out in another series that you can get on how to not fall into deception. And we're doing that on Sunday morning. We're going to be having a conference on that coming up. But I'm going to tell you, when you look at the scriptures, you have to believe the gospels. You have to believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that everything that's in the word of God is true and it's going to come to pass, and not veer from that. So he says, by which you also are being kept safe. How are you kept safe? If you hold fast the word which I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. I want you to see something. People say, oh, you've got to believe the gospel. Which gospel? The one that Paul preaches. Not the one that your favorite television prophet preaches. Not the one that the best conference speaker is preaching. Not the one that your church doctrine has embraced. What does Paul preach? What does Paul preach? How do you know? Read the Bible. Read the epistles. Plus, he's going to tell us right now. That's what keeps you safe. That's what keeps you safe from deception. If it veers from this, if it's not about this, if this is not what's being taught and lifted up, I can honestly say anymore, just get away from it. When you look at the gospel that Paul preaches, you will see teaching about angels. You will see teaching about signs and wonders. You will see they're never the focus. Jesus is always the focus. And to the same degree that Paul prioritized his message in the Gospels, how it should be today. And anything outside of that is out of balance. And we need to just really pray and ask the Lord to keep us people who really believe the true word of God, and we don't go off into extremes. Okay. It says, okay. So, but brothers, I revealed to you the gospel which I preach, this is Paul, to you, which you also received, in which you stand, by which you're being kept safe, if you hold fast the word which I preach to you, unless you just believed in vain. For I delivered to you in the first place what I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. Then he appeared to over 500 brothers at once, praise God, of whom the most remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and last of all, even as if to one born out of time, he was seen by me. That's Paul is saying, okay, he revealed himself to 500, he revealed himself, this is true, many, many witnesses, and even after he ascended back to heaven, the last one, at least to Paul's acknowledgement at that point, was he revealed himself to Paul. He goes, verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles, I am not sufficient to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the assembly of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was towards me, has not been without fruit. But I labored abundantly, more abundantly than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God with me. So I want you to see something, even though this isn't necessarily about authority. But reading the word of God, there's so much good teaching there. That whatever your past is, whatever things you were against, whatever things you did wrong, you need to get this attitude that Paul has that is not condemning. I am what I am. My past is what it was. The mistakes I made, I made. And yeah, I'm not worthy of being called by God. But really, nobody is. The key is to know that. The key is to know that you don't deserve it, that you're not worthy of it. But also to just say, I am what I am. I did what I did. The things I did wrong, I did wrong. But the key here with Paul is, but you know what? When I found out the truth, when I got free from my past, I have labored by the grace of God to do the will of God as much as, if not more than anyone. He did not let the past, his past and condemnation keep him from being fruitful and revealing Christ on the earth. Everybody just needs to grab onto that. I had to preach that tonight during our time of inner healing deliverance. Okay, now he goes on in verse 11. Then whether they or I, so we preach, so you believed. So, and it goes, it doesn't matter how you heard the gospel, who's preaching it, as long as it's the truth, it's based on what I just told you, and you believe. But if Christ is proclaimed, verse 12, that he was raised from the dead, how does some among you say that there is not a resurrection of the dead? And this is really powerful teaching, actually, for what I'm preaching on Sundays right now, because you're looking here at a lie that was getting in the church. Just like we're looking at lies. The covering doctrine is a lie that's gotten into the church. That we're going to dominate doctrine that's in the prophetic move is a lie. And it just gets in and it begins to pervert the gospel that Paul preached. And we need to really begin to have ears to hear and be led of the Holy Spirit when we begin to hear something that's really promoted to such a place that you really can't find it in the scripture very easily. You know what I'm saying? If we're supposed to dominate till Christ comes, it's going to be in there pretty big. If covering doctrine, where you're supposed to hear God through a man, or somebody's supposed to have authority over you and hear God for you and all these ridiculous things, it should be there really big. So when we start to hear doctrine placed out there that's taking precedent over the truth of the real gospel of what's in here, we need to just begin to say something's, you know, where's the plumb line of God's word in this? Who's promoting this? Who's being lifted up in this? Is this really about Jesus? Or is this about man and man trying, selfish ambition, or man trying to be something he's not? Anyway, just threw all that in for extra. All right, this is a very good scripture for this. I need to write this down to teach this. All right, so he's looking here. They're beginning to say Jesus didn't raise from the dead. That was the lie back then. Verse 13, but if there is not a resurrection of the dead, plus people believe this lie today, if there is not a resurrection of the dead, neither has Christ been raised. But if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is worthless and your faith is worthless. And also, we are found to be false witnesses of God because we witness as to God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if the dead ones are not raised. He's basically saying, when you die, you get raised from the dead. There is a being raised from the dead. There is a resurrection that's coming. People go to heaven when they die in Christ. He calls it they sleep in Christ. But if Christ has not been raised, your faith is foolish, and you are still in your sins. And those that fell asleep in Christ are lost. If only we have hope in Christ in this life, we are of all men most miserable. Verse 20, but now Christ has been raised from the dead. He became the first fruit of those having fallen asleep. Now, it calls Christians who die that they've fallen asleep because death cannot touch their spirit or their soul in Christ. Okay? So many times in the scriptures, they'll say they fell asleep. All right. For since death is through man, also through a man is a resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruit, afterward those of Christ at his coming. Now, so there is a coming of Christ. There's Christ is coming. And at that time, the dead, and I'm talking here the resurrected bodies of believers will raise from the dead. And this isn't really what we're teaching in this, but it's pretty powerful to really get in the word and understand that there is coming a time when even the bodies are going to raise from the dead. Now, if you look at scriptures in Corinthians, I believe it's actually in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, it'll tell you to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So don't be confused. There's no purgatory. There's no waiting place that many believe. I remember when my daughter died, some people preached that, and that wasn't comforting to think that she's sitting in some twilight zone waiting to wake up. Now, if that's what truth was, then that's what truth is. But the scriptures are so clear. Jesus says, today you'll see me in paradise to the person beside him. So obviously he's going to be with Jesus that day. But you also see many scriptures about that they're in heaven now, that their citizenship is in heaven. There's scriptures about the saints coming back with Christ. So there's a lot of scriptures to show us that there is eternal life that starts immediately when we fall asleep. When our bodies go to sleep in the grave, our spirit and our soul goes to Christ. The Bible says that we're in the presence of the Lord, where he gives us a temporary spiritual house, a body. And I asked the Lord once, I said, well, Lord, if they have a spiritual body, and like in my vision when I saw my daughter after she died in heaven, she looked great, you know, she had this body. I said, why would they need their natural body back? And their natural body is going to be raised just like Christ's body, where it can never die again or decay. Well, the Lord just put in my heart, because it's a finished work, we were never created to die. So because God is a God that's going to have his perfect way, he's going to make it so that we're not created, that we'll come out of the grave. It's just quite amazing. The other thing that just kind of came to me now could possibly be because we're going to rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years with Christ, we're going to come back with Christ, we probably need bodies that aren't invisible to those who are still on the earth. That's not, but that just kind of came to me when I was just got that revelation while I was talking to you. So anyway, the key to all this is that people will come along and make up new doctrine and revelations, which will cause confusion. They'll spiritualize things and try to believe things that do not line up with truth. So we have to stick to the Word of God. You know, God has very deep truths in here. And so we'll go from glory to glory in the Word, you know. And we just have to know he's going to take us into deeper and deeper understandings. Okay, so he's talking here about a false doctrine that started circulating in the church that there's no resurrection. These people will not get their bodies back. All right. That once it's over, it's over. That's what they were preaching. And he goes, it's not true. Now, verse 20. But now Christ has been raised from the dead. He became the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For since death is through man, also through a man is a resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward those of Christ at his coming. Then is the end when he delivers the kingdom to God. And this part I want to get to about 30. Then there is a coming of a time when all of those who know the Lord, their glorified bodies are going to come out of the grave. And they're going to be reunited with their soul and their spirit. Okay? When this happens, and you can read about this in Thessalonians, you can read about this in Revelations, that's not what this teaching is about. But it's a pretty cool teaching when we go there in some of our Sunday morning teaching that we're getting ready to do. All right. But it says, then is the end when he delivers the kingdom to God. So Jesus is going to take this kingdom. He's going to take this which has been given him, the name above every name, the authority, all these things. And it says, he delivers the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he makes to cease all rule and all authority and power. So there's coming a time when all rule, authority, and power will be over. There will be no more rule, authority, and power. God will be all in all. The enemy will not be able to do anything. He'll have no authority. He'll have no power. He'll not be able to pull on any kind of demonic power. Money will have no power. There'll be no threat of violence. It just will be over. It goes on. It says, for it is right for him, Christ. Who? Us? No, Christ. To reign until he puts all the hostile ones under his feet. The last hostile thing made to cease is death. For he subjected all things under his feet. But when he says that all things have been subjected, it is plain that it accepts him who has been subjected, who has subjected all things to him. But when all things are subjected to Christ, then the Son himself also will be subjected to the one who has subjected all things to Christ, that God may be all things in all. When this whole earth thing is complete, Jesus is going to give all the authority, all the power, everything that his name has earned him, everything that or his name has brought him because he is Lord and King of all. He is going to then give all that to God. And everything will be completed that is to be done, I believe, with mankind in the sense of authority and rule. Now, we don't know what that's going to look like. We're not going to add things we don't know. But the main point I want you to see as we're teaching on authority is right now, Jesus has been given all authority to rule and reign. All the way until every born-again believer has their glorified body, all the way until there is no more devil, no more power, no more world rule, nothing that can get in the way anymore. And when that time comes, Jesus gives everything to the Father. And I just want you to see this, because a lot of the teaching says we have the authority. But this is very clear that every bit of authority we have is in Christ. Every bit of authority we have up until all of these things have come to pass is in Christ. So be careful of all the teaching saying about the authority you have. My authority comes as I submit to the headship of Christ. My authority comes as I see what the Father is doing by the Holy Spirit in me, revealing the plans of heaven through Jesus. It's not about hidden knowledge. It's not about words that I say. It's about a relationship of a total submission to Jesus Christ. And then the enemy flees. You won't have to be doing warfare. When you totally surrender to Christ, the devil leaves. He takes his hands off. So the real key in authority is having this relationship with Christ, this perfect love that casts out fear. It's about this relationship with Christ where I abide in Christ. We're going to be talking about that at our next session tonight, at the new class we're starting tonight. But it's that abiding in Christ where it's all about Christ. See, the enemy has brought doctrine in a big way, especially in this prophetic movement. And I love the prophetic. I love all the real in the prophetic. Don't get me wrong. I've got lots of teaching on it. We've got guest speakers here. It's a move of God, just like the word move is a word of God. But I've learned to love this word more than be led by a celebrity status or led by conferences or led by people's opinion of someone and their excitement over a person. Is this person lifting up Jesus? Is this person speaking from the unction of God or the anointing of God? Is the Holy Spirit in me going, yay, hurrah, hurrah? Or is there a lot of, I'm trying to go, what's going on? Or I don't get it. Or I'm grieved. Do you know what I'm saying? We really want to teach people to be led by the Spirit. Believe me, the Holy Spirit in you will teach you all things. The Bible says so. He knows if it's him or not. And sometimes if the whole, it's just hard to imagine, how can all those people be buying into a lie? It must be me who's wrong. You know, how many felt like that? But what the Lord wants you to see is, if the heart isn't submitted to God, and if we buy into wrong doctrine, such as covering doctrine, if you buy into covering doctrine, you are already giving your discernment over to another for you. And I think that's the biggest doctrine that's stopping people from having real authority and the discernment. It's like putting a demon over in charge. It's like putting a demon in charge of your discernment. It's a spirit of stupor. The Bible calls it a spirit of stupor. Because we've bought into doctrine that places an individual as our protection. What did we just read? It's the gospel. It's believing the gospel. It's trusting the gospel that keeps us safe, right? Did I just read that? I just read that. So our authority, we have to recognize that all authority that we have comes from the headship of Christ.